5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome, everyone, to Truth, Beer, and Podsequences. If you've joined us before, thank you for coming back. If this is your first time, welcome. And Truth, Beer, and Podsequences is a show where we listen to and then talk about all the craft beer podcasts in the Cincinnati area. And hopefully we won't have too many podsequences from the hosts of those shows when we talk about, you know, our version of the truth or maybe what's going on behind the mic and, you know, take maybe a liberty or two. My name's Marco. I'm a brewer in the Cincinnati craft beer scene. And I am joined by the best co-host in Podcastlandia.
I am Julia. Thank you so much, Marco. Want to start off the show today with a huge shout out to our show sponsor, Jangle, who has provided us with a beer for today's show. If you would like to support us monetarily instead of coming up to BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery to drop off beers, we do have a site. It's ko-fi.com/truthbeerpod. So coffee.com/truthbeerpod. We'll put it in the show notes. Thank you so much, Josh. We really appreciate you. You're supporting us financially and ensuring that we can get a little bit drunk during the show.
Josh, and Chris from Shift Beer's wife, thank you for that donation as well.
Yes, the pictures were everything that I needed to make my night just...
That's great, Julia.
Yeah.
Thank you to our audience as well.
Yes,
there are a couple of audience... We've got a full...
Peanut gallery here.
As we're doing our intro, shout out to BC's Montgomery. Thank you, BC's Montgomery, our podcast home. Place is packed tonight, and we have some representatives from another podcast here just chilling, hanging out, having beers. You know, thank you to... Shout out to Shift Beers. BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery, if you haven't been here, get over here. They've got a fantastic tap list just coming off of their four-year anniversary. We've got producer Kenny behind... the ones and twos right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, something about this time of year, and really, I guess we can just extrapolate that out to the whole year. I mean, the smell in here is just fantastic.
It is the freshest smelling bottle shop that I've ever walked into. So the Cintas guy, you have our hearts and our olfactory glands, I guess.
There you go.
So I would like to say, since we've shouted out Josh for sponsoring the show, to BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery for hosting the show, we do have two not sponsors today. Today's show is not sponsored by Nostalgia Brewing up in Gahanna, Ohio. It is only about 15 minutes northeast of Columbus, so if you're ever headed up that direction, check them out. Sean, thank you so very much for your hospitality when my boyfriend and I visited a couple weeks ago. Thank you so much for the beers. And also, we are not sponsored by another locally hosted podcast, Soccer Crush. If you love soccer, give them a listen. It is a wonderful show. They do not fear to touch on any subject soccer related. So thank you so much for having me on your episode yesterday, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Well, that's awesome, Julia. I'm gonna have to check that show out now that one of my favorite people in podcast land was on that show.
What, Josh was on the show?
No, it was Brian. Brian from Shift Beers, where he opened twist off bottles with his butt cheeks.
It's a shame he's not even paying attention.
That's fine.
It's cool. It's fine. Marco, I have some incredibly exciting news to tell you. I got an email from Podbean, who is our podcast host, yesterday. We have had over 1,000 downloads of our podcast since we started.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yes.
1,000 downloads?
Over 1,000 downloads. That's in 15 episodes and just a couple of 0.5, so it kind of combines the two. I should have had the site pulled up.
God
damn.
Exact
number. So to everyone that has been listening, thank you so much.
Like, 1,000 downloads?
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. That's crazy.
I thought so, too. That's why I was like, oh, I want to tell Marco, and I'm like, but I want to tell him on the show.
That's nuts. I had no idea my mom and my wife downloaded that much.
Yes, we are, if I can get this to pull up, as of right now, 1,080 all-time downloads.
Holy crap. Hell yeah.
So I was very excited about that and wanted to share that with you. Live and recorded.
God, we're almost at 1,100, awesome. Actually. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, thank you to everyone who listened to the Truth Beer Pod. Thank you to everyone who has been with us on this journey. Thank you to everyone who's new on this journey with us. Keep it, just stick with us, I tell you, because I can't help but think as the content continues and our content is refreshed every week.
Yes.
You know, we are going to be here and try and work to be just, at least 1% better than we were last week.
Yes.
Believe me.
Yeah. So thank you everyone for listening and for getting us to this amazing benchmark. And here's to the next 1,000.
Hell yeah. Cheers. Cheers.
Let's do it. So Marco, did you listen to any podcasts this week?
I did. I just want to say that, I mean, as we're gearing up at my full-time job for Black Friday, it was a little bit more of a challenge to get through all of them. But I got through all of them, Julia.
Excellent. As did I. This week, we're going to be recapping Sonder Stories Chapter 79, Cincy Brewcast, where he talked to the Brewery Collectible Club of America, and some little-known podcasts that you may or may not have heard about before. Shift Bears? Is that what I've written down?
Well, it's my handwriting, so it looks like Bears. Shift Beers.
Episode 58, Stout Season.
Shifty-eight.
Thank you for the correction.
Stout Season. We'll talk about that when we get there, by the way. Got a bone to pick with these people.
We really do. So before we get into the podcast, we cannot have a beer podcast without having some beers. So,
correct.
Marco, I see you have a mostly full glass. What are you drinking tonight?
Shout out to billionaire who just sold his company over there. What's his name? Larry Bell. I'm having the Bell's Two Hearted Ale.
Excellent.
In truth, because that's what we do here. Tell the
truth. It's all about the truth.
It's our friends from Shift Beers. I had an acoustic from Fretboard.
Nice.
As we were, talking and, messing around, talking about the previous week and, show stuff and equipment.
Our pre-show meeting.
Pre-show meeting. I had an acoustic, which was nice. It's like, I don't know, 4.1% ABV.
Very nice.
Very crisp, light lager.
Excellent. So I had Marco pick me out something to start the episode with, and he got me a wonderful taster of the barrel-aged Oktoberfest from Samuel Adams, clocking in around 10%, you said?
10.2.
Nice. Glad that I only have a taster of this to make sure that that we get through the entire episode without me ending up on the floor.
No guarantees on anything there, Julia, but you're welcome. I thought it was great. I had it at BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery's 4th anniversary.
That was just this past weekend, correct?
Correct.
Nice. The tap list is still banging, so come on up and get some beers. So, Mark, are you good to get started? Do you need to get a refill before we roll into our first podcast of the night?
No, I'm ready to go. Ready to rock.
Let's do it. We are going to start off tonight with Sonder Stories, Chapter 79. This is their 3rd anniversary episode, part 1 of many. They said that they were going to be doing a bunch of episodes, 3 to 4, all broken up, releasing every week while they talk to members of the staff, of the crew, about their 3rd anniversary. As always, their shows are a lot of fun. I really like hearing kind of the behind the scenes of what they're doing up at Sonder. I did not know how many limes they go through in their beers until I listened to this episode.
Limes. I was like, lines? What are you talking about, lines? Limes. So, limes. They start out the show basically asking, when's the last time you put a lime in a beer? Julia, on the spot, when's the last time you put a lime in a beer?
I honestly don't remember. I don't know if I ever have.
It's about 4 weeks ago for me. I remember I was at MPH, and they had the option of putting a lime in their blonde ale. And I said, yep, do it.
All right. So for you, lime in a beer, douche or no douche? No douche.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I
think the only citrusy thing in a beer that I'm familiar with is like Corona and then the orange that they tend to put in Blue Moon sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So I've just never really had the full experience. But yeah, Sonder, they love their limes. They love putting all the limes in all the beers. And if there's ever a lime shortage, you know why.
Yeah, Danny Harold, beer guy, puts lime in his beer. He does that.
Yeah.
Especially when he's maybe at one of the many weddings that he goes to, if they have limes available, he puts beer, lime in domestic beers.
Well, he practically
blonde
puts
ales.
Beer in lime from the sound of it, from goes on and on and on about loving lime. He puts beer on his lime.
Half a lime, and then he just takes it and just, you know, squishes it, and then boom, beer.
Yeah. So you brought up, or kind of revealed, Danny's new side hustle. Well, it's not really a new side hustle. It's been
he's been doing it for forever.
So Danny TikTok Harold is a professional wedding attendee.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually pay him to show up at your wedding, full suit, full wedding regalia.
Yep.
And he will be present. He will not only just be there, but he will be present and he will participate in your wedding.
That's right. His season's ending, so this marks the end of his wedding season.
Correct.
Go and search out social media. Book him now for your 2022 events. It's pretty cool because, I mean, included in the package with Danny showing up in, you know, full tuxedo and all that, he shows up very early so he can be in the wedding photos prior to the wedding. He's there. He's, you know, present in the wedding party.
Yep.
And then afterwards, he promises to be one of those. It's almost like like an influencer, like an Instagram influencer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets people to come out on the dance floor when they're shy. He gets them to come out. By the end of the thing, you're like, man, I'm so glad I paid Danny for this because everybody's having a great time.
Did Danny mention when his books were going to be opening to schedule for the 2022 wedding season?
Yeah, right after Family Traditions is released.
Okay. On Black Friday?
Well, it'll be the Monday following.
Okay. So basically beginning of December.
Correct.
Close enough to it.
Yeah.
Follow and find Danny Harold on social media and hire him to be a part of your wedding. Sounds like a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to agree and reiterate with what Daniel Schmer said on the podcast, that when the time comes where he's going to remarry his wife, he's going to make sure that he books Danny.
And
I'll do the same when it comes time when I remarry Rachel. I'll go ahead and book Danny for those, you know, those perks.
Do you think that Danny will need to take some time off from his wedding attendee season for the tattoo that he and Justin are going to get?
Well, possibly. Okay. Or have to just block that out, right? Because it seems like there's going to be... I know that Ryan Geist has their inked event where there's going to be... You can get tattoos on site.
Right.
Sounds like a great and terrible idea at the same time.
I agree.
There's going to be a Sonder tattoo day.
There is.
And they're just... I don't know how much prep this tattoo parlor is going to have to do with the number of people and the different types of tattoos. You know, Friday is a feeling, and, you know, maybe Chase getting a nocturnal, like the logo,
the owl on,
you know,
his
thigh. His back of his thigh.
So when he wears his short shorts, when he's brewing.
Three quarters up towards, like, his butt cheek.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can't show that. I mean, or maybe you can.
Well,
I mean, but
how
whatever.
Short are the shorts that he wears when he's brewing? It gets warm back there.
I don't know.
So, I mean,
I haven't been back there when they're brewing. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it could be pretty tight, like
some jorts kind of cut off.
Yeah, or like some old, like,
big,
John,
you know,
McEnroe type tennis shorts.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. It could be like I said, McEnroe, or it could be like Richard Simmons, like workout shorts.
I can totally see Chase rocking. Simmons shorts.
I don't think that's safe in a brewery, but he. I mean, he doesn't brew anymore. He said that in the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more, you know, the
supervisory
supervisor mastermind. Mm. But
yeah,
you know, he's
but
like,
I'm sure
brew.
He still gets onto the brewery, the production floor from time to time.
Oh, I bet he gets down on the production floor.
And those short shorts, I bet.
Yeah.
Have a lot of fun with that.
I wonder if he leads like a pre-shift, like
stretch session.
Yeah, session.
Yeah.
You know, right before.
In the Richard Simmons shorts.
Correct. In a retail environment, you get together and you have a morning huddle, right?
Yeah.
You have a little quick morning meeting, you know, say quarter tell before you open. I could see Chase down there in those shorts down there. He's like, all right, this is stretch time. This is right before go time. Let's go.
And everyone's always shocked at how limber he actually is.
Very limber.
Yeah.
Because
he stretches.
All right, Julia, what other notes do you have there? That was a really, really good episode. So the people involved in the show, of course, is the Founders episode. You've got Justin, and then you've got Daniel Schmer. You've got Chase
and Jen. Mike and Justin.
Yeah. This gets pretty emotional pretty quickly.
It does, which ties into, if you read their show notes, which a lot of people don't read the show notes of podcasts. We try to include a lot of information about what we're drinking, the shows that we touch in ours. They have a drinking game in their show notes, so definitely check that out. They checked a lot of those boxes during this show. It was pretty fun.
It was fun to see that they incorporated that into the anniversary episodes, mm-hmm. as they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool, because they're, most people are familiar with drinking game as, you know, take a drink. But this one has rules where it's take a drink, finish your beer, mm-hmm. and there was another
one. A chug.
Chug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Chug. So that's pretty cool where there's layers to this. So
right.
You have to be really paying attention to hit all the marks, right?
Right. Oh,
and
yeah,
look,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
If you didn't hit all the marks, I mean, you know,
just
you're the one
more.
Playing the game.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
as we know from a podcast we'll cover later on in this, the way you do your drinking games is entirely up to you. Just do it responsibly.
Yep.
They did touch on near the end of the episode their favorite memories from 2021. And a lot of those really touched on kind of the same subject for most of it. It was the growth of the company, and not just production-wise, financial, anything like that. It was their staff. It was the people that they work with, seeing their personal growth throughout 2021 that made them have all the feels.
That's true. But just before that narrative, Chase, mm-hmm. said getting his sexy pump.
Yes.
This big sexy pump.
He did enjoy getting his pump on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This pump, I mean, that Sonder just got pumped up.
Oh, God.
One of the things, I don't want to give too many things away, but mm-hmm. one of the things in the drinking game is when somebody cries, and
yes.
crying did happen, and Chase
oh, yeah.
mentions that, you know, one of the cries may have been when he was talking about his pump.
All right, well, I need some more beer in my glass, so let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back. So welcome back, everyone. Thank you for sticking with us for a couple seconds of podcast time. While Marco and I got some new stuff to drink, I filled my glass. Producer Kenny filled my glass. He didn't let me behind the bar, which is probably a smart move on his part.
Somebody's going to let you behind their bar at some point. Somebody's going to say, you know what?
I already know who it is. It has already been spoken into the universe. It will be a real thing. Jason from Higher Gravity said that I could be a guest bartender at some point.
Oh, love it.
So I don't know when. I don't know if it'll be at the Blue Ash location when that opens. I will be behind a bar pouring beers, probably terribly, because I don't know what
I'm
doing.
I'd love to angle for being one of those guest bartenders over in Blue Ash. And then
yes.
you could be at the other one, and then maybe we can meet up. That'd be great.
We'll do a Zoom podcast session where we're each at a different Higher Gravity location different BC's Bottle Lodge location.
Yeah.
And, like, try to talk about Cincinnati Craft Beer Podcast while we're trying to pour beers for really pissed off patrons because they just want to drink and we're...
That would have to be, I mean, Zoom, so we'd have to be on video.
Yeah.
So that would be a video.
Well, we could just post
thing.
The audio, because that's what Soccer Crush does. They, when they aren't able to get together, they do a Zoom, and they have the video, but only post the audio portion.
I gotcha.
So it is possible. We may have to look into this. But anyway, Toppling Goliath Brewing Company. It's an Imperial Double New England IPA. It is really juicy and fruity and delicious, and a healthy 7.8%.
And I cracked Truth from Rheingeist. You know what?
Imagine.
You
that.
Know it. You love it. I cracked the Truth. And so, yeah.
It's a good go-to.
We're running with that. The board is big. It's a big board here over at BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery.
It is.
In full disclosure, anybody who's been with the show knows that I'm lactose intolerant. So what I do is, just as a fail-safe personally, stouts. Mm-hmm. I just don't drink them. Mm-hmm. Hazy IPAs, I just don't drink them.
Because you never know. They don't always disclose what exactly is going into the beer.
They don't. And I would love to try them if they would fully, you know, disclose mm-hmm. that, you know, they're free of lactose. However, since that's not the case, I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't. But
there's still plenty of delicious beers here in Cincinnati that do not have that you know don't have lactose in them, so I don't feel like you are forced to drink subpar beer at all.
No, and there's Pilsners. There's mm-hmm. a few Pilsners on the board.
There are.
There's, you know, one or two other things that I could venture into. And I did have, when I was here, some Pilsners. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm digging in the cooler. Someone's got to rotate this cooler. Why not me?
Yeah.
And why not have this big, beautiful, you know, tap list for everyone else?
I was just going to say, you're just saving it for everyone else.
That's
that is incredibly
That's all.
You.
The tap list is great. Please don't think because I'm drinking canned beer out of the cooler that I am poo-pooing the tap list. No, it's so that I don't poo-poo.
I'm sure that the Cintas guy appreciates that.
I'm sure everybody in this place appreciates that. Yes. I'm sure my wife appreciates that.
So, Cincy Brewcast, let's move on to the Gnarly Gnome. This episode, he was talking with the Brewery Collectibles Club of America, the Queen City chapter, with Beer Dave. And he was sitting at Little Miami's new event, Little Miami Brewing's new event center.
Yes, and with the head brewer, right, from Little Miami? Mm,
correct, yep.
That space, very new. Julia, have you gotten to that space?
Not the event space. I've been to Little Miami Brewing twice, just to their tap room, which is amazing. I love the river views. I love the patio area. But the event space was not yet open when I went there. So, no, that is something that I still need to check out.
Yeah, I've been to Little Miami Brewing three or four times, and this was all prior to even the start of the building of the event space. So I haven't been to the event space either.
I kayaked past the event space while it was being built.
Oh, nice.
Oh, back. That was pretty cool.
Checking out the event space. That sounds like a cool thing.
Sounds gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic. I hope to get out there one day and experience that.
Yeah. They said that they have, in addition to the actual indoor space, they have a great patio that's tied to the event space. They have fire pits. They have a river view. So to me, it feels like it's kind of the brewery just upscaled a bit, you know, bigger actual floor space for things to happen, like the Brewery Collectibles Club of America, who is having a show and a sale there the day after Thanksgiving from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So be sure to swing by, get some great beers, get some beer collectibles.
It sounds like a really cool event and concept to where if you want some neat brewery stuff for, you know, your area, your whether it's, you know, your commercial area or your at-home area to round out, you know, your really cool, neat hangout space, it's an opportunity for you to go and browse things that people have either made or collected. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it sounds neat. I mean, the only thing I really kind of, I don't even want to say collect, because I keep them, but I'm not into cataloging, or I don't need to have, you know, I'm not chasing a certain whale, but man, I love glasses. I just love glasses, and I love cool glasses, interesting glasses, and But again, this isn't me chasing a whale or anything like that.
If you happen to see one, you're okay with buying it, but you're not going to be in multiple Facebook groups and looking for
a Liam Neeson
or anything like that.
I'll give you a Liam Neeson. Here we go. You ready?
Let's do it.
Now.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Your impressions have no limits.
I was at work, my full-time job today, true story. Hold on a second. When I say true story, I give it a minute. I give it a second. I give it a beat. I was at work today. I took a phone call from a guest. Guest had an issue. I worked through this issue with this guest. They were so happy. It was a guest who I had talked to in the past, and they were very pleased with how the end of the conversation went. And they made the comment, you have the most amazing voice. And I said, well, thank you.
Nice. I mean, the Newport Report has said before that you have the perfect podcasting voice, and I tend to agree.
I am truly flattered. It's very nice. It is good because, you know, I have a face for radio, so we will continue with talking about the collectibles.
So one thing that I thought was kind of fun was no mention that, you know, when he first started collecting some, you know, beer, I don't want to call them accessories, but he talked about when Mantry first started canning, he thought, oh, he'll collect local Cincinnati brewery cans because they're there's probably not going to be that many of them. Little did he know.
Whoa. Whoops.
Yeah, hindsight is 2020. But no, I like glassware as well. We don't have a lot of space in our house for it, and I do like to try to use the glassware that I get. So a rule has been imposed in our house that if I bring new glassware in, one or two pieces of glassware have to go out. So I've been trying to do more. If I do buy new glassware, a new pint glass, a new teku, whatever it might be, it has to be special. It's not just going to be a brewery, like a Matry pint glass or Westside Brewing pint glass. As much as I love them, those would probably be the first to go if I found something really special from an event, maybe a brewery that I go to out of town that I can't get their glassware anywhere here in Cincinnati. Josh and I do like to collect growlers, and we do have a wall on our living room that we have a whole shelf full of growlers from our favorite breweries. So that is one collectible that we both agree on and are still trying to slowly grow the collection as we can.
That's absolutely right, and I get where you're coming from with that, but I want to take a little bit of a different turn with where I want to talk about the episode right now. So
yeah, let's do it.
Beer Dave and Jim has produced, just a ton of beer going back to the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken.
For a very long time, yeah.
And he makes great beer.
Yes.
Jim makes great beer. And
do you have a favorite Little Miami beer? Just to throw left. Don't look at me like that. It's a valid question.
It's absolutely a valid question. You know, this is an important conversation. I'm glad we're having it.
He's looking at me like I just asked, which of your kids would you shoot if you had to? I mean, just the shock and just disbelief that I would have the audacity to ask if he had a favorite Little Miami beer.
They make this hobby beer. It's called Truth. Really, really enjoy that one.
My favorite is Pterodactyl.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not.
That's not
it's
even
their,
for
it's
real.
Their Hefeweizen.
No, it isn't.
It's their Hefeweizen.
No, it's not.
It is.
No,
it is.
Not.
It is. I
no,
know because I saw it, and I'm like, it's a dinosaur named beer. I have to have it. So Noam said something that I thought was kind of interesting during the show. He mentioned that.
Yeah, we can just keep going with what you're talking
that,
about.
That craft beer people tend to be adventurous and cool. And my first thought when he says that was
Marco.
Where does that leave Marco and I?
Yeah.
So kind of.
What are we doing? Okay, but where I was going with this is that there was a time where the Cincinnati craft beer scene, was small, and they had fun heading out to Denver and taking the flight to Denver and coming back. But GABF, absolutely. For those of you who didn't know what happens in Denver that brewers go to. And totally valid point. And the gnome asks, hey, is it different now? And Jim says, no, it's not different now. It's a passion of ours. And, we still are passionate about what we're doing. And we love to get together. I mean, whether it was a small group of us or now a larger group that, want to keep learning and keep pursuing bettering what we're doing. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. But it was really neat to hear passion about that other side of the craft beer world, which is all the different things that you can bring into your home that your spouse and your significant other just shake their head out. Why do you need another growler, another pint glass, another can, another, XYZ. So I liked it. It was a good show.
I agree. I thought it was a good show. And to those of you who like to, dabble in the collectible side, whether it be a neon, above your kegerator or, old beer bottles that, give you nostalgia or that whale you're chasing of a can, I don't know, whatever it is, or really neat tap handles for that kegerator.
Right.
That's a place where you might be able to find some of that stuff. And if not, you're at least around people that care about the same sort of things that you care about, right?
They might be able to find it for you or know where you can go, who you can talk to find that collectible white whale that you're looking for.
And not only that, you get to experience the new event space. You get to have some pizza and some beers from Little Miami. Yes. They also touch on a subject. And I don't want to talk too much about it, but I do want to tell you they do talk about contract brewing.
They do. They do. They don't shy away from it. They don't hide from it. And that's all that I could ever ask. If your brewery is doing well enough that the demand for your product is exceeding what your facility is able to produce, that's awesome. That is amazing. You know, as long as you're working with a contract brewer, whoever, wherever they may be, to make sure it's your recipe, your ingredients, make sure that the taste, the quality is to your standards, go for it.
Agreed. And like I said, I don't want to go too far into it, but what I do want to say is, you know, Noam asked the question and Jim didn't shy away. He was all in right from the start of the question. And that's all I really, just to echo your sentiment, that's all I really want. If it comes up, mm-hmm. be truthful and transparent.
Right.
There we go.
Yep, that's it. Was there anything else about Cincy Brewcast that you needed to or wanted to touch on?
I found it very interesting, and I had imagined they talked about it off air. They didn't mention one thing about the giant facility going in across the street.
They did not.
Which is totally fine,
yeah.
because it's not their space.
Yeah, right, right.
It's not their space, so it's not their show, but anything like that.
But it is something that's going to be a part of their kind of DORA, because Little Miami is in a DORA zone, DORA district, DORA area, whatever you want to call it. And this is going to be another huge draw for that area. But, yeah, I mean,
but it didn't come up on the show. I'd imagine they probably talked about it off air. But the Millcroft mm-hmm. is going to be Cincinnati Distilling's gigantic mm-hmm. facility.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it in depth because they didn't go into it.
And I don't want to pull away from their show, right?
Correct. But I just found it interesting that there wasn't a single mention. Maybe I shouldn't have found it interesting because it was a show about the Collectible mm-hmm. Society mm-hmm. and Little Miami.
Correct.
Hey, it didn't come up.
No. But check it out. The Gnarly Gnome did put up a video about the Millcroft just because you did bring it up. So be sure to check out the Gnarly Gnome, his content on YouTube, if you want more information about some of that and support everything he does. TheGnarlyGnome.com/YouTube/support. Check out the site and get more information.
Go do it. The list
Especially
of guests keeps
food.
Growing.
It really does.
We need to get Lee on the damn show before Christmas.
Dear Lee, we would like you on our show. Please message us. Okay, thanks. Bye. Truth Beer Pod.
You should send him a text message.
I use voice to text.
Is that what you did?
No.
You just right there? Right in this moment, you voice to text.
This is what's called speaking it into existence. That's what I am doing right now. Help. I spoke it into existence. So, Lee,
we should have him on our Christmas this year is what day?
I have no idea. I don't
know. Is it a Sunday?
All right. It is time for
shit
beers. I mean, shift beers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I have a button. I'm going to use it.
Let's go.
It's the only button I have.
For now.
For now.
I'm sure. I mean, you'll find some buttons.
I will.
Find some buttons. Make some buttons.
I have a lot of clips. It's just a matter of some of them are too long. Some of them are, there's just absolutely nowhere we could use them, I don't think, but I need to go through and see if I can add a few more buttons to our repertoire.
Okay.
But yeah, let's get started on Shift Beers, Shiftisode 58. I said that entirely wrong because I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm new at this. Episode 58, it is stout season.
It is. For those people that
can have stouts, yeah.
Don't drink stouts all year round like the Shift Beers crew is. I mean, you go all the way back to episode Settle or whatever, mm-hmm. the first thing they put out. to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 10, 15, 55, whatever it is.
There's always a stout.
There's always a stout. And it, whether it's in the main show or the bonus beers, they're always drinking stouts. Hell, when I was on their show, I couldn't drink like 95% of the stuff they had on there because it was either stouts or sours. I mean, like,
this is true.
It's like, it's stout season. It's like, well, but you guys always drink stouts. And I'm not mad at you. Not by any means. Why would I be mad at you? This content
He's
is
totally
fantastic.
Mad at you.
Not at all. The content's fantastic.
So, but you know who was mad during this episode?
Who?
Chris.
Oh, he showed up angry.
Holy crap. He hates introductions. And he was beyond fired up, like, during the entire show. I don't know if he got into his wife's Coke stash or what, but he was not having it.
He was like, I don't know why I would need... Chris was on Sanford and Sons, he's like, I don't know why we need to introduce ourselves. I don't know why we need to keep introducing ourselves. You don't even know, then that's because you don't listen. If you don't listen, then you don't know, and you need to listen.
Now, you know who they did need an introduction for was the guest of the episode.
Yeah. Boomin.
He is their culinary director.
I don't know
how to speak anymore. I don't know what's happening. The culinary director over at Woodburn, and he did a good job for putting up with them for over an hour.
You know what's weird is, so Abumin, they have pictures of Giacomo Giacomo's all over the place. You know, mm-hmm. He and his hipster mustache and all that.
I was just going to mention it's because of the mustache.
Hipster mustache. There's no.
That's his hipster handle.
What?
The mustache, that's his hipster handle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hipster handle.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo!
I think Marco kind of missed that one at first. I know our listeners got it.
Yeah.
I know Chris is rolling right now.
Boomin did a great job on the episode. I just want to say that Boomin fit in like, you know, another shift beer
legend. Like stouts
legend.
On shift beers.
Yeah, like stouts on shift beers. You can just name one of them Boomin.
It was very, very good. So I did want to say that thank you to Chris for admitting that I was 100% responsible for getting the internet back up at the place that they don't work at. I mean, really, I just stared at all of the internet equipment until the lights came back on.
No, it was really fortuitous that you and I were there and that you were able to... I'm sorry. Let me back up. Chris, fortuitous means that it was really sort of special and lucky at the same time.
Big words. Because you noticed the internet did not come back up until I walked in.
That's right.
So...
Yeah, I was there. I was full witness to... I mean, Chris was...
Sweaty?
Sweaty. Like, Chris was sweaty and stressing. At one point, he put his phone was on speakerphone with the company that we won't name, that everybody hates for internet and, you know, TV and landline things. But so he was on the phone with Spectrum, and it was on speakerphone. And
shit.
And they were speaking Spanish. So he puts the phone in front of me. And I was like... Oh, yeah, that's Spanish, dude. And he's like, Marco, help. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, that's Spanish. I didn't know if you knew that. I mean, do you Google Translate, bro?
Oh, my God.
And then so he was sweating. It was very, it just was flowing. It was like just, it wasn't dripping. It was flowing, the sweat. And everybody noticed because, I mean, Beth. Excuse me.
She was not Beth.
She was not Beth at that point. No. She was Beth.
Yes.
Beth was there. Josh was there. Brian was there. And they're like, dude, you are stressed like right now.
Yeah.
And he was. He was stressed. And he had reason to be because he had a full tap room. Mm-hmm. You know, trivia was about to start and people were yelling that they wanted to watch Golden Girls. And he was like, I can't get the freaking Golden Girls on the TV. Anyway, so you were there. I don't want to say finally, but you gave us sort of a time frame when you were around about going to be there.
Right. Traffic and, is all that I have.
Yeah,
to say
I mean,
about that.
No, I totally get it. I mean, it's traffic, and then when you showed up, you know, Chris was still pacing and sweating, and he got a different language at this point.
Yes.
And you said, "Hey, hold on."
I tried to talk him down from the ledge, like, "Hey, what can I do to try and help this situation?" I mean, I know that, you know, I don't have the access to your equipment that, you know, the people that you're on the phone with will, but I can maybe at least see if there's something that I can recognize or help to establish with. Let's make sure that things are happening in the right order to ensure that your service comes back.
Yeah, because for those of you who don't know, when Julia is not doing or writing funny things about beer on the internet, she is in IT. And so on the hardware side of IT, but
basically I tell you to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Yeah, that's
99% of my job.
That's needed.
It is.
I mean, everywhere.
It is. Right.
Everywhere.
I mean, everyone needs a good reset. Like, think about when you go to bed. That's you turning yourself off and then back on again.
Wow, that was high level. That was high level, Julia.
I mean, I know I just blew a whole bunch of
minds. You're like a sleep expert.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's talk about Brian and his melatonin issue, should we? No, let's not. We'll leave that for another day, since that wasn't on any of their shows.
I mean,
let's get back to the episode and not the randomness that was.
Yeah. So, but they did talk about that in the episode.
They did.
So that's pertinent to the episode.
It is true.
And then they talked about, you know, drinking. They did the drinking. Beth participated in Thick Fest.
Yeah, Beth be thick. And I say that in the absolute best way possible.
Yeah. Thick Fest. Mm-hmm. Thick Thighs Save Lives.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Yeah. That's. I might get that tattooed. I don't know.
Oh, are you going to join Sonder on their tattoo day? And
no, because I'm not part of this. I'm cool with all the main characters from Sonder. I really,
I wish I was cool.
I shout out to all of them. What are you talking about, Julia? You get to have some beer the other day, and the privileged beer that I wasn't there, but you could.
If you would have had a ticket, we would have said, "Hey, show up at this time. We'll be there. We'll have some beers with you." Just because I drank Utopias with the Gnarly Gnome does not mean I am cool, by any means. It means I got lucky with my timing.
Okay.
Anyway.
So
Shift Beers, they mentioned something. Please.
Well,
finish.
What did you have any notes on Thick Fest?
I did not. So okay. That's why I stopped myself and wanted to turn it back over to you.
What was it at what was it called? Flip Daddy's?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Flip Daddy's decided to have Thick Fest,
mm-hmm.
And my God, I mean, just the thickness was everywhere.
It was super thick. It was like thick with 3 or 4 C's at the end of it.
Right. Don't look that up on Twitter.
No, 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 no. I will say, as far as like thickness, Brian, how do I say this in the nicest
Just say
way possible?
It. Just say it.
So Brian was a bit butthurt that more people don't want his thickness or thinness, depending on how his dark liquid is brewed. He was a little upset about that. He was.
I mean, he did mention
he wanted to get down with the thickness and couldn't.
Brian, what I will say is that I know you haven't tasted the place I don't work at's peanut butter chocolate beer. But once you do, I'm happy to take any and all questions about how to be thick. And I can help you with that.
So what I'm hearing is Marco can help Brian become a thick boy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're friends in the industry. I'm happy to help
together.
With that. The other reason why he was butthurt is because he decided later in the show that instead of opening a bottle, Boomin's like, no, you can open a bottle. We don't have this bottle opener. And Boomin's like, somebody said, well, Brian opens bottles with his teeth.
Ugh.
And Boomin's like, no, I don't do that. And he's like, no, I can do it. I can do it. And he's like, no, I don't do that. And he's like, okay, I'm going to open it with my butt cheeks. And so what he does, it's not the impressive thing that he opened it with his butt cheeks, is that he's right-handed and he opened it with his left hand, you know, twisting it in his butt cheeks, and it was open. If you're right-handed and you do anything like
with your
primo level,
hand,
with your non-dominant hand, that was amazing.
Yes. It was one of those moments where I wasn't sure if I should be like amazed, disgusted, astounded. Like I had so many like emotions and feelings happening during that part
Show. Well, so did Chris because he got really jealous and he's like, nah, you can't be that impressed by, you know, Brian doing that. And so he took another bottle that was a pop dot bottle and squeezed his butt cheeks and he went from left to right and boom, popped that top off right there. You know, he's got a Peloton, ladies and gentlemen, and he's working.
God damn it, Marco. He did it again. Oh, shit. Marco's crying. I'm crying.
2,000 years later.
You remember that photo of Kim Kardashian like a few years ago where like the champagne bottle went and like the foam like shot like butt luged off her ass?
Oh my God, now I'm picturing Chris in that,
yes,
that position.
Imagine that.
I don't want to.
Chris with his, you know, barrel aged stout just, you know, popping the bottle and then the foam shooting over his head.
Oh my
like,
God.
So that so that Brian could butt luge it.
Shit.
All waxed up and shit.
Oh God.
Glistening. You got Chris glistening.
From sweat or from like, because you
well, it depends on if the internet is out. I mean, because if the internet and the television's out, it's from sweat. If not, it's from like coconut oil.
I think I'm okay.
Poor Beth had to put up with all that.
God.
Oh, my God.
Know.
She's such a trooper.
I don't know how she does it. I do not
know. She's great. She's great. I mean, she just puts up. She's one of the bros. It's part of the really inherent brilliance of the show is that.
We need Beth on Truth, Beer, and Podsequences.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Immediately.
We've already had Brian and Chris. Josh just, I mean, who knows where Josh is at any given point in time.
Oh, jangle.
But Beth, we need you. We need you to be the glue that holds us together, much like you are the glue that holds Shift Beers together. All right, I think I have managed to pull myself together for now. I mean, no promises for what the future of the rest of this podcast will hold. One thing that they mentioned earlier in the episode that struck a chord with me, and I don't remember who said it, but someone said that you, and this is kind of going back to being thick, that you can't be a stripper and be dusty at the same time, to which I say, absolutely not. That is false.
I used to live near New Orleans, so
you saw dusty strippers all the time?
May or may not have witnessed that.
Okay.
Prior to being of age to witness that and prior to meeting my future wife.
Goodness.
Anyways. They let 16-year-olds in strip clubs.
Oh, my.
At least in the 90s.
Oh, my.
Well, and I did not do that, Mom. That was somebody else. That was not me.
Marco was just recapping someone else's story that he was
somebody
told.
Else's story that I was told that they told me, you know.
But if you are interested in dusty strippers and you don't feel like going down to Louisiana, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Season 3, Episode 10, had a character named Dusty Gazongas. Who was a stripper, who thought she was a plumber. And then she got abducted by aliens. It was an amazing episode. It's one
of
those.
There's a lot going on there. That's pretty deep.
There is a lot going on.
It's pretty deep there.
There really
Dusty
is.
Dusty Gazongas.
Yep.
Name of the show. Name of this episode.
That it very well could be.
And welcome back to the Dusty Gazongas podcast.
I guess, is that our rebranding? Are we going with a new name?
I mean, it all depends. Will it get 1,000 downloads in a shorter time than us?
It might. Let's see. What else was there? Josh pulled a Julia and didn't remember to hit the record button again after they took one of their breaks.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it sounded like there's sometimes when that happens where it's like no big deal. I mean, let's just record again. It sounded like they missed some amazing content at that point.
Yeah, like there was an incredible conversation that Booman was having about beer and about, you know, some of the bonus beers that they really didn't get a chance to talk about because the episode was already, you know, way over time for them.
And they made it sound like they really dug into Booman's past and what got him to this point where he's just, you know, at his life.
And being a culinary genius.
Culinary genius and his beer journey and, you know, how he ended up, you know, at this particular place. They just lost it all. It's almost like they didn't even care about Booman.
Right. I mean, I got the feeling that they were like, man, guys, we could just keep recording and I could just, you know, kind of cut things in as we need to, but we just don't want to. So, Booman, come on our show. We will give you all the time you want and need.
All the time.
To talk about yourself as much as possible.
Yeah, as much as possible.
Yeah.
And beer. but and beer, I mean, yes. And food. That's fine. Boomin wanted to throw hands about some stuff.
He did.
Which, I mean, was it burgers? It was burgers, right? Zips?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Burgers? Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, when you are a culinary master like Boomin is, and especially when you're a grill master, because he does a lot with things on the grill, he said that Zips uses frozen beef instead of fresh. And holy shit. Those are fighting words if ever...
I had to look behind me to make sure nobody was going to sneak up and shank me.
You did, yeah. Yeah, Marco did, you know, real quick 1-2, you know, behind each shoulder. But, I mean, that's the kind of cutthroat industry that Boomin is in, to where you have to make the best food with the best and the freshest ingredients, or you're out. I mean, it's... I don't know. It was a very light touch on it when they kind of came back in, when Josh did, you know, realize that they hadn't been recording. So they weren't able to go as in-depth into that as they probably wanted to, or as they had before the recording stopped.
I imagine they also went into, what sort of food do you make for a drag brunch? And
pancakes.
They totally, I mean, that was deleted. Not deleted. It was totally omitted.
Yeah, that should have been something. If nothing else, put it in the show notes. Like, hey, guys, we had a little oops. I mean, I've not hit record before, so Josh, I could tell that Josh felt absolutely awful about it, and I have been in that same position dozens of times.
I'm sure
already.
That Boomin went into detail about what he did with, like, sausages and eggs and, I mean, just the
chorizo.
The entire menu that would be laid out for a drag brunch, which they do at Woodburn.
Yeah. I want to go up there for one of the shows at some point.
Let me know when. Awesome. Maybe we can, when are they, or are they
they're
on?
They're Saturdays.
Are they Saturdays or?
I'll have to double check. I think they're Saturdays,
I'd have to put in like a personal day, or it'd
we'll
be on
it out.
Like
we'll
a vacation
out.
Week when I have a vacation or something.
Yeah, well,
they
we'll
sound like
it
a
out.
Lot of fun.
He did.
Yeah,
yeah
they sound like a lot of fun.
So, speaking of going into detail about stuff, what else did you really have for shift beers? Because we have some detail about the number of burps that they had in this week's episode.
We do. We have a couple of things more that we need to cover about shift beers. Mm-hmm. So, pillars, the marks of this show when shift beers has an episode, is that we have to cover the burp count.
Yeah.
And so, the burp count, now we talked earlier about how Saunders Stories had a drinking game. Well, Ship Beers had one before, and thank you for coming on board with a drinking game. There could be many ways you can go about doing a drinking game with Ship Beers. You could, you know, how many SpongeBob rejoins they have, how many times Chris has an Alzheimer's moment, how many times Chris talks about murdering Josh's grandfather. But the one we have chosen ever since, you know, the very beginning of our show is the burp count, how many times they have an audible burp. Mm-hmm. And some of these are tough to, you know, discern. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are those double burps, so you're not sure, does that count as one or two? Because they're in such quick succession.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's almost as if you need to make sure you can discern the burp voice, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it speaks to you and you understand, like, this person versus this person.
Right, right.
And so, but anyway, we meaning the show, Truth, Beer, and Podsequences, counts the number of audible burps. And what we have researched heavily, almost as heavily researched as the vaccine of the coronavirus, is the amount of liquid per average drink, which is 2 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do the math to let you know that if you're going to play the drinking game, how many beers you need to have prepped ready, or if you didn't prep, how many you're going to end up going through by the end of the show.
Yes.
Julia?
So I went ahead and did the count for this week's episode, and it was pretty, I mean, it was a little more than what the last couple weeks have been for them, but it was still pretty much on par with their average number of burps per episode. They had a total of 49 burps.
Okay.
Which is 98 ounces, which means that if you were playing the drinking game, you would have had to have consumed 6.125 pints of beer while you were listening to this episode
Hell
of
Shift
Beers. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, they tend to average around five, kind of in the high fives. So this was up a little bit, which I don't know how many were not recorded.
Right, because you know.
Lesson number two of podcasting, Josh, just to give you kind of, you know, podcaster pro tip here, never stop recording. Lesson one is always have a towel nearby. Lesson two is once you hit record, you do not stop recording until the show is completely over, because you can cut whatever you need to cut, but you can't add back a conversation that was not recorded.
Yeah, it's one of those toothpaste out of the tube situations,
true.
Right?
Very,
you know,
true.
You can't put it back in the tube,
but you can't
recreate what was ever going to come out of the tube anyway. Not to get too weird.
Yeah, but we definitely feel your pain there. And like I said, Josh, we could tell that was kind of devastating for you. So we definitely are drinking to
T's and P's.
Yeah, to the loss. We're drinking to the lost content.
And I hope Kenny doesn't mind that I'm spilling a portion of beer out on the floor here for the lost content.
I mean, does he clean that up, or does a Cintas guy?
No, what he's going to do is
he's going to bring the mop
and make me do it. Yeah.
And you know why? Because I offered to clean up my spilled beer a couple weeks back, and so now it's established that we clean up our own messes even if we don't want to.
Okay.
Or, as Josh has said in a Twisted Tea tip, just act like you don't see it and walk away.
Right.
Speaking
I could
of,
do that.
Hey, Josh, when's the next Twisted Tea tip coming out?
Come on, buddy. That was one of the most important things we needed to cover with Shift Beers. The next one is there is a musical theme that keeps coming up. And Julia, I think, didn't you have some thoughts on that?
I did. One of the things that I do during beer event season when I have one of Higher Gravity's beer event calendars is every day I make a post about the beer that I've pulled. I try to do a parody of a song, funny post, that kind of thing. They were talking about needing some type of Shift Beer jingle jam for the episode. And they started singing, you know, Nickelback, because what else would be the pinnacle of a Shift Beer than a Nickelback song? So inspiration struck me, and I have a little parody in the tune of Nickelback's This Is How You Remind Me. And I'll do this not full-on singing, because, good God, I don't know how that will work.
Who's what song?
Exactly. It's a song. It's a little ditty that I wrote about Shift Beers, and I think that it might be a good way to wrap up our recap of this episode, is to give a little nod to Nickelback and to all of the trial and error that is the Shift Beers podcast.
Well, that's great, because I mean, leading up to Thanksgiving season, I was certainly thinking a lot about Nickelback. So let's go.
Who doesn't? All right. And again, I apologize for the vocals.
No.
Okay.
Do not apologize for anything. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to introduce one of your favorite podcasters and writers of just beautiful things, of parodies. And so here we go. We're going to introduce Julia and her rendition, her own take on This Is How You Remind Me.
Sucks the poor beer from a crowler. Couldn't get the caps off the bottle. Cracking 30 racks of High Life. Drinking longer than a Melville novel. This is how we be drinking our Shift Beer of the Week. This is why our recording takes longer than you'd think. Not like Chris to say sorry for talking over Beth's every story. Brian is mistaken about how much he's been drinking. Out of cups, drink spilling. Gas station singles got the whole crew ill in. Josh screams for all to hear. Yo, it's time for Shift Beers.
That was so good, Julia. Oh my God, I want to join you on that. That was so good. That was so, so good. I'm not, you solo, first time, let them hear it. And then, you know what? That's like the We Are the World. I I envision this as the We Are the World
of
between
the craft beer world.
Yeah, the We Are the World
are the
between
beer world.
Shift Beers and Truth Beer and Podsequences and laminated show sheets with the lyrics, and then we jam out and sing it with everybody.
Everyone.
From Shift Beers and Truth Beer Pod. I think that is the way that that should finally be produced, like the ultimate production with, you know, free music behind it.
Mm,
like
yeah,
not copyrighted
yes,
music.
Yes, we will. Hey, maybe we can get the Newbert guys to do
that
a
was,
cover.
That was hella good.
Well,
that's going to take us to 1,120 downloads.
Well, Josh, Beth, Chris, and Brian, I hope that I didn't make your ears bleed too much with that one. I hope you enjoyed it. To the rest of the listeners, I hope that that was enjoyable for you. I had fun writing it. I typically, once I write these little parodies, I don't speak them aloud. I kind of go over them to see if they match the beat or the cadence of the
exactly.
song.
For all of you that are you know, long time or new listener to Truth Beer Pod, this is the kind of thing that Julia does year after year with these advent calendar boxes, day by day with the advent thing. And so it caught my attention a couple years ago, and I was like, this lady's, you know, got something cool. You know, she's got a mind for this kind of thing. And so when we were interacting, you know, via social media and via podcasts and whatever, I was like, this lady gets it. And this is a perfect example of telling you the world of how she gets it. I mean, I love it. That is so awesome. That's it. Hold on a second.
Well, thank you. I have a lot
so
of fun
great.
Doing it.
So great, Julia. So great, Julia. And when I heard, as they were in the episode going through, you know, the things that they do in the mm-hmm. episode, and I'm not going to give away too much, but clearly they knew that Nickelback was brought up in the episode. I was like, okay, this is something. And then it wasn't an hour later when you texted me.
I have
like,
a parody.
I got
them.
It. I got it. And I was like, here we go.
So what I think I'm going to do while we wrap up this episode, it has been it's been another fun night, but it is time for us to finish our beers and get dinner, go home, that kind of stuff. I will be normally I just post the daily post for the beer event calendars in the Cincinnati Craft Beer Club Facebook group, because that's been the only place that I really knew to share it. I am going to be posting it there, as I always do, because the folks in that group always graciously allow me to take up their Facebook space to do it every year. But I'm also going to repost it to the Truth Beer and Podsequences Facebook page as well, just to make sure that it gets out there, because I do have a lot of fun and do spend a decent amount of time creating those posts. So I would like to share it with as many people as are interested in reading it.
I am so happy to hear that you're going to do that. It is so, so much on brand for our show.
It really is.
And you know, I'm glad that we have this platform for you to be able to take this thing that was so super cool that you shared with Facebook groups to now have put on your own platform.
Yeah.
And that's just a small sample of what's coming, everybody. So great job, Julia. And
thank
by the
you.
Way, she asked me before the show, she said, do you want to hear this? Do you want me to go through this? And I said, absolutely not. Save it for the show. This is my real life, honest reaction. And I love it. I love it. And I knew I was going to love it. That's why I saved it. I trust you implicitly with, you know, your judgment on the show. I trust you implicitly with the thing that's in your wheelhouse. And that was great. So fantastic. That's awesome. So that's what you get from Truth Beer Pod. And Julia, I think we've covered everything for the shows that we have going on. How does everybody find us? Where do they send complaints? Where do they send sponsorship requests? Where do they send, you know, anything?
They can find us on all the social media platforms at Truth Beer Pod. They can email us at truthbeerpod@gmail.com. They can buy us a pint if they go to, and I will put this in the show notes because it is a little awkward, ko-fi, like coffee, ko-fi.com/truthbeerpod.
Send all complaints to @RagingHop on Twitter. And other than that, if you're going to be at Beers, Booze, and Bonks, find us and say hi. And, you know, can't wait to have a fun time.
Absolutely. So, Marco, what are you doing next Tuesday?
I'm going to listen to all the craft beer podcasts and come back with you, Julia.
Sounds great. I'll see you there.
Cheers.
Cheers.